Beloved Creator, today we pray for Ubuntu. There's a simple story told of a man who proposed a game to some children of an African tribe. A basket was put before a tree, and the children were told that whoever reached the tree first would win the basket and all of its contents. Rather than competing, the children all took one another's hand and ran together. While sitting and all enjoying the fruits, the children were asked why they ran like that. Their response was, "Ubuntu. How can one be happy if all the others are sad? This philosophy is, I am because we are." In our culture at this time, we speak the I am. Let us instead speak the I am because we are, so that we may all choose to enjoy the fruits of unity and of our God-given gifts. In that oneness, we all win. And so it is.
My name's Ron Vroman. I'm the old white man talking head from the Oregon Statewide Jural Assembly. Reverse engineer it. We need to restore law as defined by the Declaration of Independence. So then, how did the Declaration of Independence define law? I thought that was an interesting one, so I looked it up. And to assume among the powers, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's, apostrophe S, God, entitled them. So that's where our laws come. Very first paragraph. So we identified where law comes from. And then we go on and it says, after the Declaration of Independence, lots of stuff happened, and then they had the Confederation and Perpetual Union, and it wrote articles. It's not Articles of Confederation. That's an abbreviation. That's something that they sell us in the documents that's not true. It's just like Rhode Island is abbreviated. Rhode Island's name is Rhode Island and Providence Plantation, and Massachusetts is Massachusetts Bay. So you have to be careful with what you're dealing with. You really do. And then one of the articles is, and it's the final one that they wrote, in the Confederation and Perpetual Union's articles, it was the Constitution, the United States of America's apostrophe S Constitution. And that comes out in iterations. So they made the first one. And everybody said, yeah, hooray, but it's got to be fixed. And they said, okay, and they fixed it. Pretty good. It's supposed to have been 12 or 15 amendments, but the Bill of Rights got put in there and it was 10. So they fixed it, which made the original Constitution that had been ratified an artifact, because now they had to ratify it with 10 changes. And they did. And then they had to ratify that with the 11th. So the one with the Bill of Rights became an artifact. And the new one took its place. And then they added Vermont and several states. And then they added the 12th Amendment. And then they added more states. And then they added the 13th Amendment, which is the original 13th Amendment, which is called Titles of Nobility, but is actually anti-Titles of Nobility. So that's what you get with your constitution. You get new iterations, and it was designed that way. You don't make a great big colossal altar in Washington to the Constitution. And the one they chose is the one they put the preamble on, and the preamble was never certified, ratified. It's not legitimate. It's not authentic. They just stuck it in there. And they want everybody to bow down to we the people of the United States. We the people of the United States are those that work for the federal government and live in the United States of Washington, District of Columbia. It's military, forts, ports, and needful buildings. You got to know what this stuff is. So then in 1819, they got anti-titles of nobility. And then every state that became a state between 1819 and 1859, when Oregon became the 33rd state, all of those states had the 13th Amendment, TONA, in their contract. And the contract is the United States of America's Constitution with all of the current amendments, and the state, whichever territory was becoming a state, then that state became not a ward of the United States anymore, but it became a nation. A nation state among the several nation states that make up the Confederation and Perpetual Union. That's named the United States of America. So then the iteration of the Constitution for Oregon was 1859. I forget the month. I'll guess and say February. So that iteration is the final iteration of the United States of America's Constitution in original jurisdiction. That's the original law form. That's where men and women with their progeny, the body, mind, spirit, flesh, blood, soul, those people, that's where they have a de jure government. From that point on, the bar attorneys took over and added another layer of fiction on top of original jurisdiction, and we have had martial law on the United States since March 1861. Now, the way they did it was they converted all of the states to being a federal district of the United States of Washington, D.C., and they made a new fiction and made the state of Oregon a subdivision of the United States, which is not constitutional. You can look at it and you can tell they knew what they were doing, and they did it anyhow. So then, law is, the Constitution is the first law of the land. Then there are statutes at large. When they do work in Congress and they make laws, actual laws, a lot of the laws they make are not positive law. If you look up a woman named Jen the Liberty Lion. She does an excellent explanation of that, of what positive law is. It's complicated. Try to remember it. God, there's so much to remember. But there's keys, there's clues. When you look it up, it tells you exactly. If you learn the clues, and Jen has, and she teaches them, no charge. Jen the Liberty Lion. So then they have the statutes at large, and they write them up, and that becomes law. If it didn't make it into the statutes at large, it's not law, it's something else. It's a decree or a memorandum or some other form of communication, but it's not law. So then the statutes at large of 1858 were written after Lee and Grant signed an armistice to end the conflagration that was not a war. But it turned us into a benevolent form of martial law that could only be overcome if you implemented Ex parte Milligan. And Ex parte Milligan was enacted because some guys in Indiana wanted to free some Confederate soldiers in a prison, and the feds caught them and wanted to hang them, and nope. SCOTUS says there cannot be martial law if there's a civilian law on the land. And Oregon, us, just little old us, we made the first civilian court of record, and it's accepted. It's done, and it's on Oregon. There cannot be martial law in Oregon. That means every other court on Oregon lost its standing. It lost its law form because they were all part of the United States, Inc., as State of Oregon was a subdivision of the United States, therefore their law form is a subdivision of the federal law form, which is not constitutional. It's martial law since 1861 on every other state, commonwealth, and territory except Oregon. Lawfully, legitimately, we did the work, and it's yet to be rebutted by anybody. Even those that are doing jural assembly work that is totally different from what we're doing, none of them rebut a thing we're doing. They can't. There is no rebuttal to the truth. You just have to accept it. So then, boy, when Grant and Lee signed their armistice, that's when the fix was in. We were in their control. The industrial military complex, I think, is the military complex. And part of how it works is, when I came back from South America and I hadn't lived here in 8 years and I didn't know how to find a job anymore or what to do, I joined a mutual self-help group called 40 Plus in Los Angeles. And they teach older guys how to get back into the workforce again. Older is over 40 in the work market. So the fix was in, and the military was in charge. And I think it's been that way ever since. How is it that the budget for the United States military is bigger than the budget for the next five countries or something? It's ridiculous. And I was in that industry for quite a while. building Titan I missile sites for the Air Force. But I digress. So we had benevolent form of martial law, pretty good, as long as the military got to fight a war every once in a while and they got to buy new toys and make new airplanes and all that kind of stuff. And when I was in 40 plus, a guy told me, I says, aren't you worried about getting a job? He said, nah. He says, every colonel and above that retires from the military is guaranteed a really good job in the defense industry. Isn't that interesting? He was there learning about getting a job because he had only been in the military his whole life. And he was positive that he was going to get a really good job in the defense industry because he was a retired colonel. And I'll bet it's true. Part of the industrial military complex that has been joined by a whole bunch since then. So now all of the states, 33 of them, have statehood documents. And a statehood document would be the two constitutions, the United States of America's Constitution and the state's constitution. Those two constitutions are the contract, the enumerated responsibilities of the United States of Washington, District of Columbia, are written clear what they're supposed to do. But when they flipped out of de jure into de facto and they got martial law, now they do what they want to do and play pretend that it's constitutional. And you see these guys on YouTube, oh, somebody else is passing another law on the Second Amendment. We have to fight that. It's stupid. Absolutely stupid. You don't fight that. You fight the issue, and the issue is martial law. That's where the fight is. The fight isn't about you carrying a handgun or whether or not there's red flag, or all of those are infringements. It's not to be dealt with that way. We have to get back to original jurisdiction. So now, here's all these contracts. Oregon's, for example, which is our state constitution and the United States of America's constitution, and probably a letter from somebody and a document with red ribbons and a little bit of, we've got these contracts out. Every state of the 33 states has their statehood documents, and not one of them is available to you and I. You cannot get a look or an authenticated copy of your statehood documents. They're not available. Now, that is an opinion based on the fact that we can't get Oregon's. We can't get the U.S. Marine Corps to get it for us. We can't get the National Archives to give it to us. We can't get the Library of Congress to give it to us. We can't get the archives of Oregon to give it to us. None of those will give us a certified copy of Oregon's statehood documents. And you can't get them from any of the other states either. I've asked around. Not every single one of them, but nobody else can get them either. So, if you are the state of Oregon and you say, we are the state government, Well, you are if I acquiesce, but what if I deny that? I say, no, you make the claim that you're the state of Oregon, so show me your bona fides. And they won't do it. So how do you force that? How do you get authority over them to we can't even make them open a building. They lock them up, send all the people home and pay them. And they work from home, allegedly. There's 1,600 people that work in the Oregon Health Authority's building. They got 1,600 people at home working without files, without any interaction. It's a malevolent form of martial law. That's what's happened. It changed to that. Maybe with the malevolent form of martial law, the people that can figure out how to assemble, and then after they assemble, they can figure out how to make a social compact, and then they can figure out how to read a few documents and write a few documents and get rid of martial law on their state, 21 days, wait 30, and it becomes an unrebutted affidavit, which is fact in the de facto law form. It's not hard. There's not one rocket scientist in our Oregon statewide general assembly, and we figured it out, and it has to be right because I'm still talking. They killed Lavoie. They put the Bundys in prison for 2 years. They put all the Colorado Nine in prison. Schaefer Cox is there. Anthony Williams is there. Lots of people get put in jail for doing exactly what we're doing. So I think that the evidence is with a preponderance of evidence that whatever we're doing is correct, or we wouldn't be here. We would be another canceled channel. They've only bugged us once on YouTube. We've only got one strike on YouTube. So, as we cannot get our statehood documents, we have to reclaim the de jure form of government on our state. Let's see, Charlie had something to say, and it's gone. Boy, Charlie took my whole train of thought and went away with it. You got to be careful of these golden years. It's not true. It is not true at all. So, once you have the people on the land and soil that expatriate from the U.S. Inc. and the de facto into the de jure, and their paperwork is right, you are no longer in their jurisdiction. So, the group that forms the Jural Assembly and reads the documents on how you make electors from your state, commonwealth, or territory, and you use your assemblies jury pool. That's what we use. You use your assembly's jury pool to select your electors and send them to Philadelphia this year. So you take five or six people, you do the work, $50, 15 hours work, buy a seal, signed, sealed, stamped, delivered, witnessed, proof of service to a few documents, and you have assembled. You have a social compact. They will have acquiesced to it. And 30 days pass and it becomes fact in their de facto law. And then in two law forms will be legal and lawful. Then that group go to Philadelphia and return to a legitimate original jurisdiction. Then people say, yeah, but then all of those other amendments are wrong. They're no good. And that's not quite true. This, we put on the back of all of our presentation cards, Article 1, Section 1 of Oregon's Constitution. It says right here, all powers inherent in the people, and they have at all times the right to alter, reform, or abolish the government in such manner as they may think proper. And Jefferson said we ought to do it by blood every 20 years. That's a little harsh. But we should be ready to do it and do it this year. So then, the de jure form of government went away when South Carolina left. And I talked to a guy from South Carolina the other day, and he says he can get a general assembly there, and he was in Tim Turner's group, the Republic, in the 2010. So looks like South Carolina comes back to the perpetual union, then the perpetual union of 33 states can do, what is that again? All powers inherent in the people, and that will be us, in a Republican form of government, and they can at all times alter, reform, or abolish. Well, start fixing it. First thing you do is you fix martial law, ex parte Milligan. Then there's plenty to fix. All the corruption and evil that's been going on and has been inculcated into the system, it's got to come out of there. There's no part of the elected or appointed governance that is savable. They all have an oath to an illegitimate, illegal law form. They're bogus. Now, they can renounce that oath and take a proper oath and become a proper sheriff or a proper DA with the proper oath. That's easily done if they want to do it. If they don't want to do it, then what is it? Looks to me like misprision of felony, which morphs into misprision of treason, which morphs into treason. Four of us confront them, and then we can do that. For a Congress assembled, we must have delegates with bona fides from the several states. We get our delegates with bona fides through Article 1, Section 1, all powers inherent in the people, and using full faith and credit from the United States of America's Constitution, and having removed martial law that was in effect with the Army in 2015, and there's no known updates, removing martial law returns to a civilian form of government, and that returns us to law. Law is American common law, which is a misnomer, but it's the one that's used. To lawfully remove the de facto on Oregon, we needed a grand jury, and to get a grand jury, we had to have a grand jury pool. Every other state, when they sign up their people to be men and women on the land, they sign them up at the same time if they follow our pattern so that they can have a jury pool. We had a jury pool when we had 45 and Tanya called a jury, a grand jury, and one showed up. Then we had an arraignment. Then after the arraignment, we had a trial. Yes, it's all available. It's been done. All you have to do is look at it, read, and figure out how it fits your state, commonwealth, or territory. See, we know how evil Kate Brown was. We know all kinds of things that she did. But instead of going after all the things that she did, we just went after she broke her oath and she has no honor. And everybody on the state knows at least one of the things that she did that broke her oath, and they let her get away with it. So that's all we did. We tried her on what was in the public domain. It was recorded everywhere, all the things she did, all the votes she made against the Second Amendment. Easy. And every other state, the folks in North Carolina know exactly what's wrong with their state and how to fix it and do it with a lawful grand jury and a lawful Article 3, Amendment 7 court. Okay. So after you have the grand jury and you have your trial jury pool, and then after you have that, then your grand jury makes presentments to the prosecutors. We have 38 on Oregon. And you make a presentment, you don't make an indictment. An indictment is simulating legal, and we don't do that. So you make a presentment to the de facto, and you make a true bill to ours, our court, Article 3, Amendment 7, and we try them, and we do the work. And it's a hell of a job. The paperwork. Just, okay, you take one thing. There was 89 defendants and 38 prosecutors. All 89 defendants have to be presented to all 38 prosecutors. 89 times 38, that's a big number. That's docket numbers, separate and distinct docket numbers. That's a lot of work. It's not free. We're looking for remedy here. We're not looking for justice. People looking for justice, go someplace else and look, because we're not looking for that. There's no justice to 160 years or so that they have cheated us and defrauded us and our parents and grandparents and so forth, and us. Most of the people right now are still dumb, stupid, can't wake up. They have no knowledge. Cognitive dissonance, I had it until 2014. It's a disease. So then, here's the thought for the leaders and the congregations of the Christian community. My oldest daughter said, even if he did break his oath, he did more good than bad. Donald John Trump. And I say, if you give your sacred word and you break your oath, that's not good. And he did that. The current de facto unlawful, illegitimate, incorporated governance in Salem, all three, the executive, Kate Brown, and so forth, the legislative, 89 legislators, have been found guilty. The verdict's passed. Our marshal will soon be confronting all the sheriffs. Hopefully there'll be four from the court that back him. And one by one, you look them in the eye. And are you going to commit treason today, or are you going to take a lawful oath to a lawful constitution and be a constitutional sheriff? Or do I find one other person and we charge you with treason? Because it only takes two of us. And I yield.
They do not want to let go of this. They do not intend on losing here. And we do not intend giving it back to them.
And then the bullets started flying. Then he jumps out of the car. And he's got both his hands up.
And he got out of the car, and he had his hands in the air. He's like, just shoot me then. This is what you want, just shoot me. And they did. They shot him dead. With his hands in the air, and I fought. I swear to God. He's just walking with his hands in the air. And they shot him. And they shot him dead, and then after he was down on the ground, shot him three more times.